Welcome to The Sales Hustle, the only no BS podcast where we bring you the real, raw, uncut experiences from sales change makers across various industries. The only place where you can get what you're looking for to up your sales game. Today's episode is brought to you by SalesCast. SalesCast helps sales professionals transform the relationship building process and win their dream clients. I'm your host, Colin Mitchell. What is happening, sales hustlers? Welcome to another episode. As always, I've got a fantastic guest for you today. I've got Nick Sagelski. He is an enterprise AE at SharePoint and is nothing less than a sales badass. We were chopping it up over here, and I told him we got to save the good stuff for the listeners. He also is the host of the 30 Minutes to President's Club, which is a little deceiving, but we'll dig into that. So, Nick, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Colin, I am living the dream. I'm excited to talk with you today.
Awesome. Give us the short version. How did you get into sales?
90-second version. Here we go. I was a college wrestler, and I started a company in college with one of my college wrestling teammates, and we did a ton of things great and a ton of things really poorly, and we ended up winding the business down after college ended. But I thought, okay, I got to get a real job now. What was my favorite part about that experience? And frankly, it was the business development. It was the deal-making side of things. And it was easy because I was the business owner. And once you start selling somebody else's thing, it gets a little bit tougher. But I said, all right, I'm gonna go into software sales. And so I kind of followed the classic path where I got into an SDR job that was one of those sort of burn and churn, pound the phone like crazy. And I said, all right, well, This is interesting. And so I was like, I got to get into where I think the real money is, which is when you get to the enterprise AE level. So I started taking life really seriously from there. And a couple of years later, I've gotten myself into a pretty dang good enterprise AE role.
Nice. Okay. So most sales journeys start in a similar role like yours, where you're just, you know, hammering the phone, doing business development. You know, now they've got fancier names for it, right? Used to just be telemarketers. Now you're an SDR or a BDR, yep. Right? So what do you tell like the SDRs, BDRs that are tuning in? Like what sort of advice would you give to them of their like path to becoming, you know, an enterprise AE?
So a lot of the skills that a enterprise AE leans on a super daily basis are the same things you were doing as an SDR. The amount that I'm still like picking up the phone and cold calling, I thought, okay, maybe I'll move on from this. No, if you want to be successful, like the daily discipline is still really important. So I think there's probably three main areas. If I'm a new SDR, like I've got to nail these things right off the bat. The first is opening a cold call the right way. And we can talk about a permission-based opener because there's really two parts of a cold call. It's the person not just hearing what you're saying, but actually listening to what you're saying. And I think that's where a lot of people screw up on cold calls. I think the second thing I would need to nail if I'm a new SDR is how you frame your value proposition. And I would challenge people to maybe ditch the value proposition and instead use what I call a problem proposition. And then the third thing is really tightly managing your day. I think a lot of new salespeople struggle and end up going down rabbit holes of researching an account for 5 hours who ends up sending all your emails right to the spam blocker and those personalized emails never make it through, or filming this really custom video for somebody and not actually having those things scale. And then they also get trapped in other like non-selling activities. Hey, let's set a weekly one-on-one, you and me, new SDR, so we can all share best practices. And that stuff's good, but I think really tightly managing your day and then figuring out the first 30 seconds of a cold call. Like if you can do those as a new SDR, when I stumbled into my like first real AE job, I didn't really know how to do anything else in the sales process. But because I really had those three things down pat, I was more successful than the rest of the group.
All right. So let's dig in a little bit deep on that because it's a topic that I love talking about. You know, the more traditional way of a cold call is like, hey, Nick, how are you doing? Right? So there's so many things wrong with that. So why don't you give me some examples of having that proper opening statement of a cold call?
I think the first thing to understand is why the "Hey Nick, how's it going?" doesn't work. The fact of the matter is you're lying to the customer immediately in the interaction, because if you're an SDR and you're making 50 cold calls a day, you're calling 50 CFOs a day, like, you can't honestly tell me that you really care about how each and every one of those people are doing. And they know it's disingenuous and you're just like trying to get them to interact back, right?
And then there's even people using scripts that have some sort of fake empathy in there to, you know, make it seem like you actually give a shit, but they know you don't. So, and not only that, not to mention, that's what everybody else is doing, right? So they're going to treat you the same way that they treated the last 50 people that use that same opening line.
Yep.
Which is probably hang up or tell you they're too busy.
Yeah. So your goal as a salesperson is you want to be like treated back as a professional. And to do that, you got to treat the person on the other end of the line also as a professional. And when you call somebody out of the blue and interrupt their day, like, immediately there's four things that they want to know. Who is this person? Where are they calling from? Why are they calling me? And how long is this thing going to take? Because this person's interrupting my day and I've got a full-time job to do. And so what I do when I open a cold call is it's called a permission-based opener. And what that entails is you've got to like state your name and company. Hey, Colin, this is Nick with 30 Minutes to President's Club. And then the next piece, what you do is you address the time, and then you address the situation, and then you ask permission. And so you might say something like, I know you didn't expect me to call you this afternoon. Do you mind if I take 1 minute? I'll tell you why I'm calling, and then you can let me know if it makes sense for us to speak. And what you've done here is a couple things. Like, so the way it actually sounds, right, is, hey, Colin, this is Nick Sigelski with ShorePoint. I know you didn't expect me to call you this afternoon. Do you mind if I take 1 minute? I'll tell you why I'm calling, and then you can let me know if it makes sense for us to speak. Here's what you've done. You've said who you are, where you're calling from, and you're super clear about that. You have nothing to hide. You're a professional. Then what you're doing is you're addressing the fact that, like, you have some degree of emotional intelligence. Like, I know you didn't expect me to call you, or I know I'm an interruption, right? You're acknowledging you're a real person who, like, gets that this is kind of uncomfortable and awkward for the two of you. Anything you can do to make yourself seem more like a human and less like a pound-in-the-phone salesperson, the better. Then what you do is with that time piece, do you mind if I take 1 minute? You're addressing the fact that, like, nobody likes a salesperson who goes on and on and on and on. And customers or prospects, one of the biggest things that they hate is uncertainty. And so if you just say, do you mind if I tell you why I called, they don't know if you're going to spend 45 minutes talking about, well, we were founded in 1668 and our founder was a humble potato farmer and realized we had to change the, like, they don't want that. So you say, this is going to be quick, and then you ask permission. And one of the things we talked about earlier, Colin, is the difference between them hearing what you're saying and the words that come out of your mouth, and then actually listening. And they will not listen if they don't give permission.
Right. No, I absolutely agree. That's what we use, is that same sort of format. The one thing I'll add to that is that permission-based opener is so important. However, also how you say it, what tone you use is equally, if not, in my opinion, more important. And so I like to use that sort of permission-based opener. There's a time to use more of a confident tone, and then there's a time to use more of like an unsure kind of, like, you know, just human empathy sort of tone. And I believe that opener is received really well when you just kind of say it with a very unsure tone, like, hey, Nick, I know I'm an interruption to your day, but do you have a minute so I could just tell you why I called? And so when you use that tone,
it's like you're the kid who got his hand caught in the cookie jar, and you're like,
yeah,
look, man.
You picked up the phone. Is it okay if we speak?
I know you didn't expect me to call you here. Like, I get I'm an interruption. Like, you didn't want this to happen, and I understand that. Like, can I tell you why I called, and we can get this out of the way?
Yeah. One of my favorites, and it's not original. I heard it somewhere and stole it and have just recently started testing it, is like, hey Nick, you know, this is a cold call, but, you know, I actually hate making cold calls probably more than you hate receiving them. But if you don't mind, do you have, you know, 15 seconds so I can tell you why I called?
Yeah, I've got a buddy who's like, and look, man, I don't like making these calls either. So, like, just just please, I don't want to have to call you again. Like it's like, what happens.
Yeah,
is
just
like,
have fun. Just have fun, you know, and just constantly be testing new things. Like I think people want to have that silver bullet of like, this is the script and this is what's working. And yeah, it might work for a certain amount of time, but you know, if you get bored with it and, you know, just have fun, try new things, stick with the basics of like that permission based, like before you speak or pitch, and letting them know, you know, who you are, where you're calling and, you know, how long it's going to take. Those are all like the essential ingredients to your opener of your script. But change it up, have fun, you know, test some new things. And, you know, that's how you can start to like, just really enjoy the activity a little bit more. Like I'm a founder of four companies and I still cold call for 5 hours a week because it's fun for me. Do I work every lead that I generate? No, I pass them to my team and, you know, I like to lead by example and test new things. And I like, you know, building relationships out of nothing. So, you know, cold calling doesn't have to be this like thing that you just hate with a passion.
Well, when you start to let loose and like kind of chuckle a little bit, like the customer senses that also. And I mean, look, banging out 70 cold calls in a day, like it's hard work and it can be super disheartening. And when you actually start to relax a little bit and like chuckle about it, the job actually starts to get kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you just focus more on the activity rather than the outcome, right? Because you know, a yes or a no is a positive outcome. If you get a no and they have a legitimate reason, like, I don't know, you mentioned you sell ERP software, like, yep. Sorry, Nick, we're in a 20-year contract. There's like, and I hate the vendor, but there's absolutely nothing I can do. Yep. That's a legitimate no. Okay, so great. I can take them off my list and go find somebody who I can help. So a no is a positive outcome too, because you're trying to refine the list to find those people that are either in market, unsure or unhappy with their vendor. I mean, there's just, you know, so it's not all about just getting the outcome that you're looking for is what's that next yes for most people.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for like evaluating, okay, what's my success rate on something, but ultimately, that's outside of your control. What you have to focus on as a salesperson, especially in sales, because you will get punched in the face and rejected for most of the day, right? Most of your job as a salesperson is getting rejected. And so I really try to focus just on the inputs. You focus on something my high school wrestling coach always told us was, he said, focus on the process, not the product. If you focus on the inputs being right, the outcome is going to be what the outcome's going to be. But if all of the inputs are right and you control what you can control, like the product is like just, it's going to happen. Like the outcome's just going to happen. And it might not be the outcome you want, but like if you really gave the best of your abilities and you like focused on the inputs and those inputs were right, you probably couldn't have changed that outcome anyways.
Mm. All right. So let's go a little bit further in the call, right? So let's assume you get permission to speak.
Yep.
Then what?
Okay. So where a lot of salespeople screw this piece up is they understand, okay, I probably don't need to like give the history of my company and say, we're the leading provider of X. But what they do is, yeah, I mean, that's a whole set of problems in itself. The next level beneath that where someone understands, okay, like, I'm not going to do that garbage, is they've been taught, okay, a value proposition or a value statement is really important. And I have issues with the word value itself because I understand what it means. But when you tell like a new salesperson, hey, you got to sell value, like they have no idea what the heck that means. So I think a lot of people struggle when they get told, okay, next you're going to say a value proposition, because a value proposition kind of is inherently about you. And yes. Again, you need to make it about the other person. How do you actually put this into play? What you're going to do is you say what I call a problem proposition. And the way that that comes out is you got to have some sort of social proof. So I might say something like, Colin, the reason I'm calling you is I've spoken, like, okay, so they say, all right, fine, go ahead. You've got 1 minute. Cool. Thanks, Colin. Colin, the reason that I'm calling you is that I've spoken with a number of other, insert their title there, I've spoken with a number of other VPs of sales who are, and then I insert a word here that is indicative of pain. So I might say something like who are stressed or who are frustrated or who are anxious or who are concerned. That, And then you insert like a common challenge that you solve. So all you need to do, like if you're listening to this, to like come up with this on your own, is think about, okay, if somebody says like, here, like if you're saying, here's what we do to help, just flip the inverse. If you can help in this way, okay, well, what sort of problem is someone struggling with that you then help with? So for me, I'm selling this ERP system to CFOs, and I might say something like, Colin, the reason I'm calling you is I've spoken with a number of other CFOs of law firms who are frustrated that trying to get their law firm's bills out the door is taking way longer than they're hoping to because of some of the special formatting requirements from the insurance companies that they bill. Right, so I've said the problem. Now what I'm going to do is I'm not going to talk about how we solve that problem because they don't, like, I don't know if they even have that problem yet or if what I've said has actually resonated with them. What I want to do here now is kind of implicitly get permission and tell them that we can make that better. So I'm going to say that problem statement and then I'm going to say, I'm calling you about something that makes that easier. And I'm wondering if you might be open to speaking when I'm not cold calling you out of the blue. What I've done here, right, I've named a problem that I have a really good hunch that they have, and I've told them that we can help make that problem easier, better, whatever. And then I've said, would you be open to talking at some point about this? An area that a lot of salespeople get like stuck in is they say the problem and then they say how they can solve it. But the person on the other end doesn't really care unless they have that problem. So you've got to like get them to affirm that that problem exists or get some more details about that. So instead of saying the problem and how you solve it, just say the problem. Because if that problem doesn't exist, what the heck are you doing pitching to solve it?
Now, I love that. Now, I would argue that there's a lot of salespeople that don't even clearly know what problem they solve or don't even properly know the job that their prospect does and may or may not know how to speak their language in a way that's going to pique their interest. So let's assume they don't know how to get there. How can they get clear on that?
Well, if you're the type of salesperson that isn't clear on that, my guess is you're not the one who started the company. My guess is you're working for an organization that hopefully has at least one customer. Likely you work somewhere that has a couple customers. And hopefully your company is keeping track of the deals that you've won in whatever sort of CRM you have, or at least like an Excel spreadsheet. So what I would do is I would look back on, like I hear people say, oh, you know, you should get a customer roundtable put together and invite all of the CFOs and US, like realistically, if I'm a new SDR, like the chance of me putting together a roundtable with a bunch of our enterprise customers, like that's not gonna happen. But what you can do is like take a look, why did you win deals before? Talk to people at your company who have closed deals. And then half the battle too is like calling people and like, okay, so let's say you're new SDR and there's no resources whatsoever to help you with this stuff. Or like maybe you do work somewhere where you haven't closed anything. Like the company doesn't have a single customer. Well, I would still like take your best shot at a problem you think your thing can solve. And then when you call someone and they're like, yeah, we're not really having that problem at all. Like you can just ask and be like, I appreciate that. That's cool. I'm going to let you go. I guess I'm hoping you can help me because I'm new in this sales job and like I have no idea what I should be saying to CFOs when I call them. And like I've been told that we help with this, this, and this. And like I'm wondering if you think there's a better way that I should be phrasing this. Like some people are just gonna be like, no, you know, hang up the phone. But like eventually you're gonna get some benevolent CFO that's like, okay, I get it. You're some like 22-year-old SDR who like is struggling. And when you like ask for help, you will receive.
Yeah, no, I love that. Those are all great tips. So, you know, one, if you are at a company that has some customers, get some like find out why those customers bought from you, what problems you did solve, right? And if maybe you're a company that's been around a little bit longer, actually like really read the case studies if they exist, right? Like what challenge do they have and look for some like commonalities, right? And then let's just assume you don't have any of that. I love what you said, Nick, is collect feedback, even from the people that are giving you no's. Like I'm a big believer that the feedback from the people you don't do business with is more valuable than the people you do business with because they have nothing to lose. They're going to be totally honest with you. Like, hey, you were just too pushy or like, no, you didn't really solve the product or your product's just not quite there for what we need. Like they will give you the feedback that you're really looking for to be a better seller.
Yeah. I mean, when you actually like openly ask for feedback. And like, I even do this in the sales process, right? Like, I'm selling something like an 18-month sales cycle in some cases. Well, I'm doing some sort of calibration throughout the process. Like, we showed you a demo, and like, I actually did this the other day. I had the CFO on the phone, and we had showed them like a 2-hour demo of this thing earlier that week. And she was telling me all the things she liked about it. And that's cool. I'm writing these down. We're going to highlight these as we keep going through the sales process. But one of the things I said is like, hey, I'm also curious, like, what weren't you crazy about? Because I know our product's not perfect. Well, when I say something like that, first of all, like we talked about like pushiness and stuff, all of a sudden you break the mold of the normal sales rep, because the normal sales rep wants to close their eyes and just be super positive about the thing the whole way through. Well, the fact of the matter is your product's not perfect, your company's not perfect, the customer knows it, and you definitely know it because you see behind the scenes. And when you actually admit that, the customer gains more confidence in you. It's like, okay, this guy's telling me the truth. And then I also figure out what didn't they like. Well, you wouldn't believe half the time when people tell me things they didn't like about the product, they're actually things that are like factually wrong. But if I don't ask that question, I never know. And so when you ask, or I do know, okay, great. Well, now I know sort of where the deal sits. If it's something that's like a major deal breaker thing, I have a pretty good sense of like the realisticness of that deal. And if it's something that's small, like, okay, now I have a chance to dig into it. But like, I don't think salespeople who are actually working deals in their pipeline spend enough time like on the negative side of it. Like, what didn't you like? Or I'm kind of getting the sense that you feel
what
like,
could we have done better?
Yeah.
Or it feels like we just haven't quite earned your trust. Like, can you share why? Like, those are all great questions. And the thing is what I find in that line of questioning, a lot of times the feedback that you get is things that they just like weren't paying attention to like didn't fully understand. Or maybe you just didn't communicate it properly and they missed it for some reason. I mean, I'm assuming on a 2-hour demo, there's a lot of stuff that could get missed.
Totally.
And you might have to re-explain things multiple times. So, you know, asking for that negative feedback, I think is so important, because a lot of times you can clear up things that would have just gotten skipped and you would have lost the deal because they weren't cleared up.
The piece about, okay, a lot's missed in a 2-hour demo is so true. Like, if you think about like your own experience as a salesperson when you onboarded at the company, you didn't like learn everything in day one. And the fact of the matter is you're probably having the same like 4 or 5 conversations dozens of times a week with dozens of different customers. So for you, everything about the product and the onboarding and the training and like your organization, that's all second nature. Like, it's ingrained in your head. For the customer, they only get that information like once sometimes. And if you're not reiterating it throughout the process, like, they're gonna miss things. So you got it. Like, you've got to, one, check for clarity like multiple times throughout the process, but then two, recognize that stuff's going to be missed. And if something's important to a customer and they acknowledge that at some point, it kind of feels silly, like the next meeting, like bringing that point up again, but they've already forgotten a week later or 2 weeks later. And so you've got to keep bringing that stuff up that is important to them.
Yeah. Yep. 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 All right. So, Nick, man, thanks so much for coming on the show. We covered a lot of good nuggets here. I know you have a podcast. Why don't you let folks know where they can check that out and anything else you want to let them know?
Sure. So I have a podcast. It's called 30 Minutes to President's Club. A little bit of short-term gratification there. People like their junk food. It probably takes more than 30 minutes to really be successful as a salesperson. But the idea behind the show is it's probably similar to this one in the sense that there's a lot of sales podcasts out there, and like 93% of them like to just talk about theory and mindset and how important it is to, feel good and meditate before you do your cold calls, and you got to work hard, and that stuff's important. But like, if you're listening to a podcast in your free time to get better at selling, like, you probably know that and you're inherently a hard worker. So the idea behind my show is we only talk about things that salespeople can do, say, or write that very day with a customer to be more successful in their sales job. Get your theory, get your mindset from people who are more suited to do that, or just like figure it out. But that's the idea behind the show. If folks want to connect with me, get with me on LinkedIn. The first name's easy. It's Nick. The last name's a little bit tougher. It's Segelski, Cegelski. And I accept all requests, so long as they don't include a pitch for more leads in the connection invite.
Or four paragraphs of junk.
Ah, yeah. Well, you know, I would accept ones of moderate junk, but the amount of people who I coach wrestling as a sort of like a volunteer way to give back. I was a college wrestler, and so I coach wrestling. And the amount of business coaches that say, "Hi, Nick, I see you're a coach. Do you want to learn how to grow your business?" I'm like, all right, man.
You got to remove it from your headline.
Yeah, exactly.
You just got to remove it. All right, Nick, thanks so much. If you're listening to the podcast, please subscribe, share with your friends, write us a review. We'll drop all that stuff in the show notes so you can connect with Nick, and we are listening for your feedback.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Sales Hustle. Are you a sales professional looking to take your sales career to the next level? If the answer is yes, then I want you to go over to salescast.co. Check us out, and if you feel that you are ready, set up a time to talk with me and my co-founder, Chris. I'm your host, Colin Mitchell, and if you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave us a review and share the podcast with your friends.